Just a little recap, really, back to the beginning. There's a contrast built into this by John as he writes his gospel. Chapter 3, we have Nicodemus and Jesus. And in chapter 4, we have the Samaritan woman and Jesus. And you couldn't have a more contrast than you tried, really. Nicodemus, high-ranking member of society, a Jew, a man. And then he goes over to the other place. We have a woman, probably low end of society, really. She's a woman, and she's a Samaritan as well. So it just shows you Jesus is out to reach all kinds of people. That's part of the message that John is wanting to convey. And he meets this woman, and I just want us to retrack a little bit about how things turned out. The woman comes to the well with a jar. What's she coming for?
Water.
To get water. Mm-hmm. So what do you think she did?
She went down it.
She got some water out. Now, what I'm trying to say is, what did she do with the water jar? There's a question about this. She left it later on, but what did she do with it first?
Put it down.
And offered him a drink. And if she's going to offer him a drink, it means that she must have filled it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, that's what I'm getting at. So leaving the jars, we'll come to later on, isn't just that she forgot about it.
No.
She left it for Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So she fills the jar with water, and Jesus, when he's reaching out to us, you know, he reaches us as a whole people. And I just wanted to remind you of the four things that Jesus reaches to in this woman. Number one, he reaches for her compassion. He says, give me a drink, please. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he's asking, he's touching her, mm-hmm. touching her heart, yeah. in that sense, right? Mm-hmm. And then, what does he say to her?
Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah. Right, so what does he speak to there? He talks to her about her need, mm-hmm. right? So he's reaching her spirit, really, the need that she has, because she knows she's not satisfied. That's really what we're getting at here. And also, Jesus speaks, when he talks about the husband, he speaks to her conscience, mm-hmm. right? So the Lord's touching all those areas of her life as he begins to speak to her, minister to this lady, right? And there's one more which I've forgotten. I'm just trying to figure out what it was. To her, yes, he appeals to her mind, to get her thinking about something. So he lays her a little puzzle to start getting her mind involved as well. So every area of our human being is what Jesus is ministering to in order to draw him to himself, yeah? So that's what he does with this woman. So here we are, he speaks to her, talks to her about very, very, very special things that others haven't heard about. And she, when it just so happens, having said this, Jesus reveals himself as the Messiah. And obviously they've got some idea of who Messiah is. Mm-hmm. I said the Samaritans have got a mixed up religion. And Jesus is saying is the real religion, if you want it, is from the Jews. Yes, so we're going to show you what the truth is. But it's not just for Jews. And of course, in a way, although the public declaration of Jesus at the end is very audible and loud, mm-hmm. for us to become believers, Jesus has to say that to you personally, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. I'm your Messiah, your Lord, your Saviour, you know? Mm-hmm. Which is what he's doing with this lady, yeah?
Can we also, maybe when he told the woman to ask the woman to go bring her husband,
yeah.
is it now bringing family together? Talking more about because of her past, he could have just talked to her privately.
Yes, I don't think he's inviting the family as such. He mentions the word husband, so that she has to deal with the issue that she's not living with her husband now. Mm-hmm. She's living with a guy, and that's simple.
Yeah,
yeah? Mm-hmm. And whatever's happened in the past probably wasn't very good either. So Jesus is dealing with the sin issue in her life too. Because he's got to do that, hasn't he? Yeah.
Yeah.
If he's going to be a saviour, he's got to save you from something, and it's your sin that he saves you from.
I think he brought that up just to get her going on what was happening.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Alright, so Jesus has had this amazing conversation with this lady, and just see how good God is in charge of the time here, because the very moment that Jesus has finished telling her what she needs to know in order to become a believer, who turns up but the disciples?
Amen.
Right? So they didn't interrupt this conversation.
No.
Jesus had finished what he was wanting to share, And so when the disciples turn up, he says, just then, notice. Have you noticed how God does lots of just thens? He's very good at timing, I've noticed that. It just so happened. Just then, his disciples returned. Now, one more thing to say. Where had the disciples been?
To town.
Why are they going to town?
To buy food.
Where were they buying it from? The town. Who were in the town? Samaritans. Right. Now, if you remember, we read earlier on, it says Jews don't have any dealings with Samaritans. Well, what does that mean? It doesn't mean they don't buy and shop there, because obviously they were having dealings with the Samaritans on the financial level. One suggestion I've come across, which is really, I think, probably the significant bit, it's talking about religious observance. The Jews don't drink from the same vessels that Samaritans drink from. You know, we are separate, we are kosher, and you are unclean. We don't mix cups and things like that. So when Jesus asks her for a drink out of her pot, that's really going over the limits, yeah? So Jews do have dealings with Samaritans, but on limited terms, let's put it that way, yeah? So they bought some food, that's what it's about. They've come back. And says they returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. Why are they surprised?
Because they know she's unmarried.
Shouldn't do it. Yeah. I mean, rabbis don't do this. I mean, rabbis, the custom was, rabbis gave the rule, you don't talk to a woman outside, even your wife. How about that?
Keep her quiet.
Well, Jesus is breaking all their rules. He's not breaking any of Father's rules, but he's breaking their rules, because this woman is a human being that needs God's love as well, yeah? So Jesus is showing these disciples, and so they're surprised he's talking with a woman. What does that tell you about the disciples?
They've got their
prejudices. Yes, right. Jesus is going to have to knock some prejudices out of them. Yeah. And this is one way of doing it. He shows them by example. And so they're surprised, yes? But they don't ask him. They're a bit too nervous to ask him, perhaps. They didn't ask him, what do you want? And the answer would be, water. And, or, why are you talking with her? To tell her about living water. Yeah, but they have no idea of what's going on. They just think, what's going on here? Very odd. Very odd. Then, leaving her water jar.
So, isn't it?
They're like you and me.
Have for tea.
Well, yes, yeah. No, they're human beings, I'm afraid, and they tend to be rather earthly minded most of the time, it seems.
Well, yes. It was only 3 years, was it? You know.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
The last 3 years, this is the beginning.
But this is, yeah, well, yes, it was early.
They will be getting still.
Early on in the ministry, that's right, yes. So they have a lot to learn, you could say. Right. All right, so leaving her water jar. Why did she leave the water jar? Now we thought about it.
She never thought about that.
She doesn't want to carry it. That's because, I mean, it's 10-minute walk, you know, easy.
She forgot about it.
Right? I don't think she forgot about it.
I think she was so excited.
Well, she could have been excited and left it.
Mm. But she could run without the water.
She could run without the jar. But what did Jesus say?
Go call. Yeah.
No, go call before then. First one, give me a drink. So what she's doing is leaving the water for Jesus. She can collect the jar later.
Yeah.
Yes? That's my guess.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. Here is this Samaritan woman that doesn't have any dealings with Jew, now wanting to bless this Jewish rabbi. Yeah. She's changed a bit, hasn't he, in that brief time. That's my guess. So she's left the jar. She can come back for it, but Jesus can have a drink. Yeah. Right, so leaving her jar, the woman went back to town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, what has she just become?
An evangelist.
Yeah. Hey, that was quick work, wasn't it? Yes. And, brothers and sisters, what kind of evangelist is she? She's a woman evangelist. How about that? Can Jesus use women evangelists? It would seem so. Yes. So, she goes back and she does exactly what Jesus did to her. To the townsfolk. Yeah? She doesn't tell it out straight, she gives them a puzzle. Yeah? She gives them a puzzle. That's what she's doing. She says, come and see somebody who told me everything about me. Well, I don't think he said everything about her, but she knew he knew everything about her. Yeah? So, come and see somebody who can really, and the interesting thing I find is, she introduces him not as a person who can read your future, but a person who can read your past. And that's what you need dealing with. So come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Yes, and the good news is he didn't run away. He could, and then she says, come and see someone who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? That's their puzzle. Could it be the Christ, is it? Because they know about Messiah. They've got some ideas, haven't they? So she's saying them, what do you think? So she's getting them curious. Just like Jesus did with her. She's learned fast. She's a smart girl, this lady. So can this be the one who's the Messiah? Right. Well, she was obviously pretty effective at that, wasn't she? Yes. They came out of the town and made their way towards him. Now, what's changed about this lady, apart from the fact that she's now got some good news to tell, is her whole approach to the townsfolk. I suspect before she'd keep her head down and wouldn't want to be seen and all that sort of stuff.
They probably didn't want to talk to her.
And they didn't want to talk to her. But now she's so full of something that she's got to tell them. And they've got to listen. And God's at work, of course, because all the folks respond. Isn't that amazing, eh? Well, so they came out of the town and made their way towards him. So, job done. She's got them. And what's an evangelist's job? An evangelist's job is to point them to Jesus and get them to go to him. It's not to get them to come to you, it's to get them to go to him. So she's doing well. So off they go. And meanwhile, while all these are going out of the town, heading up towards the well, meanwhile, his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something, because that's what they'd gone into town for, wasn't it? And he says to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. That's another puzzle for them. Of course, they think somebody's brought some food to him, of course. I've got food to eat that you know nothing about. Then his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? Well, they never saw anybody. So what's he talking about? Jesus answers them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Essentially what he's saying is, I find it satisfying to do what Father wants me to do, to bring life to people. And I suspect he wasn't feeling quite as hungry as he was before. I might be wrong there, but you've got the idea. Anyway, he's saying there's something that's more important than food, and that's sharing the good love of God. My food's to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Finish. That word's used at the cross as well. It is finished. Yes. So that's the job that Jesus has come to do, to bring salvation. Then he says, don't you say, now it's not a proverb this, it's not something that they say, 4 months you sow to the harvest, because it's longer than 4 months between sowing and harvest time, so it's not that. He says, don't you say 4 months to the harvest. What's that mean then?
You've got a little bit at the bottom. You've got to wait that 4 months.
It's not a proverb.
I don't think that's true. The harvest always comes to a festival.
Yeah. Meat festival. Basically, Jesus is saying is, he's telling you what time it is. He's telling you what time it is. He says it's December or January, depending on how you calculate the months. He's saying it's January. Well, let's say it's January. It's January now. How long have you got to wait till the harvest? 4 months. Yeah, 4 months, harvest time. Harvest time slightly different to ours, of course, Ron. There are different seasons, harvest time's in 4 months. Yes? From when we're talking now. That's all he's saying. Right? But remember the question I asked last time? Did John talk when it says the sixth hour? Was it 12 o'clock or 6 in the afternoon? Right? Well, this verse, to my mind, answers that question. If it's 4 months to the harvest, it means he's speaking in January, and in January at 6 o'clock it's dark. So sixth hour means midday. We've got that sorted now. So it was midday, so it's just after, it's getting towards tea time when the folks are coming up. That's what we're getting at. She's been, because it wasn't instant, she had to share this in the town, of course. So towards tea time they're all coming up towards the place, and Jesus tells them, that's 4 months of the harvest, I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. What's he saying? He's, as I say, it's not a proverb. He's saying it's 4 months before the harvest is ripe.
Yeah? There now.
Right? But if you look out on the fields, there's a harvest coming towards you.
Yeah.
That's the point he's making. Yeah. It may be a physical harvest in 4 months, but we've got a harvest in the next 10 minutes. Yeah? Right. So, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. What could you see?
You're not obviously saying any time is ripe, isn't it?
Well, no, it's not. No, it's not any time. No,
it's
no.
It's ripe for the harvest.
It's ripe for harvest. Why is it ripe for harvest?
No, I don't mean to grow it.
What can he see? He can see a bunch of people coming out of the village towards him. Right?
Yeah,
he sees them, right? And it doesn't mean to say they're white-haired. The fields are white, you know. That's how it normally you tell when the harvest is ripe. It means that the people are coming out of the town towards Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a harvest is coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got the idea. Yeah. Right. So the harvest is moving up the field. It's a harvest that harvests itself, it would seem, yes? Right. Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now that he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Yeah? The one who, this is the saying, one sows and another reaps is true. We sow and we reap. And normally there's quite a long time between that, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
In this instance, Jesus is saying, on the harvest, but I'm talking about spiritually now. Sharing the gospel with someone doesn't automatically mean that they become believers in the next 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? There's a process that God uses to bring people to himself. That's what he's saying. Mm-hmm. And in this situation, God's been using a process. Who's been sowing here? Because the disciples haven't. Jesus is one.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody else has been sowing.
The lady's
been sowing. And somebody else has been sowing.
God.
Well, no, the disciples are going to do the reaping now. They're going to be part of the harvesting, yes? But the disciples haven't sown. No, they've just gone down for dinner, that's all, or to get food, yes? The woman's done sowing, Jesus has done some sowing, but somebody else has done some sowing. The Holy Spirit, yes? But all the previous Jews, well, the Samaritans only believed the first 5 books. Now, the sower I'm thinking about is Moses. How did they know there was going to be a Messiah if they hadn't read it in their book? And who wrote the book was Moses. Yes? So, we use that word so, Moses sowed, Jesus sowed, the woman sowed, and the harvest is coming up the field.
Mm-hmm.
Yes? And he tells the disciples, you're appointed as the harvesters now.
Would the barley harvest be white or just the wheat harvest?
I have no idea.
Oh.
Barley's first.
Probably.
Barley's first.
And barley has...
When it's ripened.
It ripens, yeah, but barley has these very long horns on it.
Yeah.
And they would turn white,
well,
I imagine.
Yeah, because that might give you a clue what harvest it was.
Yeah.
Talking about.
Anyway, it's the harvest that turns up in April, May, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, now, where have we got to? Yes. Even now the reaper draws his wages, even now the harvest is a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Yeah, so we're seeing things happening now, and you can enjoy it. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. Now that's a very important lesson, brothers and sisters. Let's just finish the verse. I sent you to reap what you've not worked for.
Mm.
Others have done the hard work and you've reaped the benefits of their labour.
Yeah. Mm.
She's been downtown evangelising all around town. They're going to be coming, helping them to learn about Jesus. Mm. So they've got the ease of it.
Yeah.
Right? And the same with Jesus ministering to her, of course. So another one sows, another reaps, and this is a really, really important lesson about sharing your faith. It's not always the case that when you share your little bit with somebody that they're going to become Christians just like that. If you're at the end of the process, thank God. And what would you say to someone if they come to you, I want to become a Christian? What would you say? Go and see Dennis, I know, No, you shouldn't. What do you say? I want to become a Christian. What do you say to him?
I'll tell my testimony.
Yes. But what do I do? What do I do to become a Christian?
Say the prayer of salvation.
Believe in the Lord.
What did they pray? What do you tell them to pray? Say the prayer of salvation. I have no idea what the prayer of salvation is. I have no idea. Tell me, please.
Well, I shot that in my hand. Look.
What?
Prayer of Salvation, read it.
You've got it written down.
Well, I'll carry one with me all
well,
the time.
Well, if you carry one with you, what do they need to know? What do they need to know? They need to know that they've failed God, they've sinned, right? That's number one. Bad news, eh? They need to know that God has provided a solution in Jesus coming to live and to die on the cross for you, and he's come to live and die and rise again to be your Lord, to fill your heart, to lead your life, to get you to home, right? And that's a relationship with God, and he wants you to know his Holy Spirit to do that. Yeah? And they say, can I do that? You say, yes, well, we'll pray that one then, shall we? And that's it, isn't it?
They often say, what do I have to do?
Yeah.
They want to do something.
Exactly, well, tell them.
And we say, just believe.
Well, you say, pray, let's pray this prayer. Yes, hey, I mean, just believe what?
In Jesus.
Yeah, well, let's pray to Jesus, talk to him, we'll start the process off, shall we?
And meet your life.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's the end. That's the end of the road. In case somebody asks you, that's what you need to do, sort of thing. But supposing you're not near the end of the road for someone coming to Jesus, what do you do?
Leave it to God.
You leave it to God. You share what bit you can. It may be an act of, maybe just an act of kindness.
Yeah.
He may be saying, "I read my Bible. You know, it's lovely. I enjoy reading it."
Sowing seeds.
You're a sower, brothers and sisters. We're just gardeners. We're not evangelists, most of us, yeah? Evangelists are the baby producers, in a sense, aren't they? They get at the end of the process, yeah? But we're gardeners. Plant a seed. Let someone think about it. Give them something to think about God. That's all you need to do. And let the Lord do the work. Yeah?
God wants you, get you.
So, someone sows, another harvests. That's the way it often works. So, just do a bit of sowing, and if you're called to do a bit of harvesting, praise the Lord for that as well. Yeah, you got that?
Mm-hmm.
Good. I mean, there are churches in, well, they're in Korea. How many churches are going in Korea at the moment is another question. But apparently, you couldn't become a member of some of these churches unless you'd led 3 people to Christ, apparently. Yeah? That'd leave most of us out, wouldn't it, really? Yeah. Yeah. Well, maybe that's why they've got such large churches. But I've got a question for you. It's not about that. It's about sharing Jesus with people and getting Jesus to get them. That's what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and if, you know, some are sowers.
Yeah.
And what Jesus is saying is, you are reaping the benefits of what others have worked for.
Mm-hmm. So,
and you've been doing a bit of sowing before, though, haven't you, as well?
Yes.
And I'm sure the Lord, in her youth, I suspect, as well. It's surprising, Sunday school and stuff for a lot of old people might be 1,000 years ago, but there's stuff that's still stuck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Others have done some work, and you're just part of the process. Yeah. So that's very humbling for disciples, but it's a great relief too. It doesn't all depend on me and you, which is good to know, isn't it? Yeah. We do our bit and leave the rest to the Lord. Do your best and leave the rest to the Lord. Yeah. So that's what the disciples do. Right. Now, a little bit now, and then it says, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. Is that wonderful, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Quite a lot of the people believed what she said. Now, that's quite amazing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Why did they believe what she said?
She probably looked different. She felt different.
They sensed that she was genuine,
mm-hmm.
and that she was enthusiastic.
Mm-hmm.
That's one side
Can
of it.
I say as well?
Yeah.
They all knew about her.
They knew about it.
They knew about what she was.
So they could see a difference, couldn't they? Yes. Mm-hmm. This is something real, yeah? Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And God's at work.
Yeah.
God's at work. I mean, you know, you shouldn't talk to someone you're blue in the face. Unless the Lord begins to open their eyes and their hearts.
Yeah.
It's not going to get anywhere.
Yeah.
But God was at work. And so they believed in this Jesus because of this woman's testimony. Well, there you are.
Being in the presence of the Lord, her life was already changed.
She was, yes.
When she went back to them.
Yes.
She was a different
person, yes, quite, absolutely. And they saw that.
Mm.
So it's the power, it's not just what she said, but it's who's saying it now. It's a different woman, yeah.
Mm.
They believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did.
Mm.
So they realized this person has got supernatural insight. He's a special person, yeah. Mm. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed 2 days. Isn't that wonderful?
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure.
What? Well, he would have taught them quite a few bits, I should imagine. But it's only a little village. It's just one little village in Samaria. The ministry to Samaria comes on after Acts, after Pentecost, really. But this is a start, in a way.
But after his words, they became believers. So
So they listened to what she said, and they urged him to stay with them.
Yeah.
That shows you their response to Jesus. And in a way, I suspect it must have been sadness to Jesus, in a way. Having just left Jerusalem, when they want to chuck him out, here are people saying, would you come and stay? Yeah. Anyway, he goes, but he only stays temporarily because he's got to go up north to minister to the Jewish community in the Galilee. Yeah. But these people are special, so he stays with them and ministers to them. Yeah. So he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. Well, that's great, isn't it? If you can introduce people to Jesus, stand back and watch. It's like you know, with the fireworks, you know. It says, light the blue touch paper and retire immediately.
Yeah.
Do that with getting people to Jesus. Get them to Jesus and retire immediately. Leave him with them. He'll sort it out, yeah? Then, they said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves. Now that's not knocking what she said.
No.
Not in the least. I mean, they're grateful for what she said, yeah? Mm-hmm. But what they're really saying is, you were right, weren't you? Absolutely right. We don't just believe what you said, we found it for ourselves as well. Mm-hmm. We've heard for ourselves and we know that this man really is the saviour of the world. Mm-hmm. Well, what's Jesus taught them there?
Well.
Yeah, because, you know, at this point in time, as far as anybody else knows, Jesus came to save the Jews. Yeah, but they've discovered God loves Gentiles, Samaritans even, yeah, and they've suddenly realized that this person has come not just for a select group, but for the whole world. Yeah, he's willing to help and save anybody who comes to him. Yeah, even in March, isn't that amazing? The saviour of the world. So that's a fantastic, lovely story of how and the things that stand out to me, I don't know if they do to you, but here is a woman missionary. Mm-hmm. Fantastic, yes. And how Jesus relates to this person on such a complete level. As I say, mind, heart, spirit, conscience, the whole person's engaged when they come to Jesus, yeah? Mm. And how people can respond through her testimony and our testimony. All we need to do is get in touch with Jesus, get fired up with Jesus, and you never know what God can do. Mm. Amazing, eh?
And also the disciples had the same situation on the boat, on the lake, didn't they? When he told the storm to calm down, they said, who is this?
Yes, it was an eye-opener. So we'll stop there. We'll go on to the official son next time. An important and good lesson to learn out of this as well. But there you are. The Samaritan woman. You can still go to Jacob's well. Do you want to do a little visit there? Just sit and imagine Jesus there talking to the lady. He might even talk to you while you're there as well. You never know. But the good news is, as he says, you don't have to be in any particular spot, either in this mountain or that mountain. God wants worshippers, and the worshippers are those who are real, genuine, spirit and truth. Mm-hmm. Come his way, yeah?
Most of the person that the parents said, this man speaks with authority.
Yeah, not like
me. Not like the rabbis.
Yeah.
And that is true.
Yes.
We know for ourselves, don't we?
Yes.
It's like when you and I, suddenly the Lord says something into your spirit, doesn't it?
Yes.
And you know this is of the Lord.
Yeah.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
That happened to me one night. I was asleep and the Lord said, well, nothing, the Lord said, go and tell Sylvia about me. You know, I said, Sylvia, but when I woke up next day, I thought, I've never seen Sylvia, tell Sylvia. And anyway, I thought, well, who's Sylvia? That's all, who is Sylvia?
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought, well, I don't know any Sylvia. And then I remembered that lady that Anna went to.
Yeah. Oh, yes, she used to visit, yeah.
And I thought, well, it must be her, because she lives a couple of doors away from me. So I went and knocked on her door and said, hello, Sylvia. She said, hello, what did you want? I said, God sent me. So she said, oh, well, if you said, you better come in. So I went in and I always carried the prayer of salvation around with me, you know. So I asked if she had near the Lord. She said she knows of him.
Yes.
So I said, well, do you want to meet him, you know, and do you want to spend eternity with him? Yes. She said, oh, I'd love to. Anyway,
isn't that wonderful?
I led her to the Lord that way.
Yeah.
And she said the prayer of salvation. And she died 3 weeks later.
Wow.
So
the Lord,
time,
the Lord sends you to her, yes. Yeah. It's wonderful, yeah. Wow. Mm. Amazing, eh? Yeah? Yeah. So you never know. You never know.
He talks to you.
Yeah. Good. Well, let's pray, shall we? And we'll leave it at that. Eh? Lord, it's a great privilege to know you, Lord. As we read about people who met you and they were just overawed by your glory, your power, your wisdom, your insight and knowledge of ourselves, Lord, we just are amazed. You are the Saviour of the world, the Messiah. Lord, we bless you that you love us and you want us to know you in a very deep and personal way too. Thank you for the privilege of being able to call upon you as our Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, we thank you, you love us, and we see this expressed so much in this visit to this lady and to the community there, Lord, that you want people to know the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
And Lord, we realize it cost you so much to sow the seed for us, Lord, to lay down your life that we might live. We bless you, Lord, and give you praise that you are now the risen, glorified Saviour. And Lord, help us to be gardeners in your kingdom, Lord. Sowers of your promises, your blessings, your goodness, and as it pleases you, Lord, to lead others to yourself as well. Lord, we're in your hands. Use us for your glory, and thank you for the privilege of being part of this great harvesting work, Lord, sowing and reaping. We praise your name. Amen.
Amen.